हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 36. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "We cannot understand the reason for the extraordinary development of love for Krishna in our wives. That is the intention of this verse. They did not perform Upanayanam Samskar, living as brahmacharis in the guru's ashram, perform austerities, meditate on the soul, or perform auspicious rites. But Krishna alone, who is the Lord of the best yogis, knows and causes this. The cause of their bhakti was hearing about the form, qualities, and activities of Krishna from the mouths of the garland makers and other women of Braja. But because the Brahmins did not know this, they did not mention it. This is Sukadeva Goswami's intention here. What mercy the Lord shows and what selfishness we have. That is what they express in this verse, right? Because they see is that they didn't get association, so naturally then it didn't come up. But you also have the aspect of that they don't see the importance of the association at this point. Because otherwise the cowherd boys come, they didn't deal with them properly, right? Their wives are devotees, they're not dealing properly. So they don't see the value in devotees. Now they can appreciate, but they see us by Krishna's mercy. So now by that association with their wives as devotees, then they'll start to learn about the importance of devotees, then they'll be able to appreciate more. Yes?
The difficulty is that sometimes we don't take association because we think we already have association and it's quite good. So brahmanas in this scenario, that was the idea, you know, we're brahmanas, we've got everything together, we don't need any other.
Yes. So the point is it's on the devotional. That's the main element. So someone is more advanced or someone who's serious about Krishna consciousness, that's good association. So that's what's not... they're looking at it that their particular occupational duty, because of occupational duties, the brahminical will be the most advanced. And then of Brahmins, then those who are doing the Shrauta Yajnas will be more advanced than other ritualistic Brahmins. But actually higher than this is ones who studies and teaches the scriptures. But, you know, generally that will come with time. They may already be doing that to some degree. So they're looking at it from that side rather than from the side, you know, from the varnashram aspect as opposed to the devotional. So in the varnashram aspect, they're probably doing quite well. Because you see they're so nicely situated. And all the criticisms they had of themselves are all, you know, points of attainment that it would be rare to come to that platform of ability. Right? But the devotional is the most. So when the devotional is there, then the occupational aspects and the ashram aspects aren't the consideration. Like Lord Chaitanya, who's a Brahmin, would go and spend time and that would kolibetcha Sridhar, who's a Shudra. So therefore, it's about the devotion. You know, and Rupa and Sanatana would consider themselves outcasts. And then, you know, so that's where it doesn't matter when you're talking about the devotional aspect. When you're talking about the skill, of course, then you go to a Brahmin who knows this skill. You want a yajna done, you get a yajnic Brahmin. You don't try to do it, you know, yourself when, you know, you can't figure out how many thumbs you have, you know, stuff like that. So that kind of one has to separate between these two. So they didn't consider the spiritual. So they just took the varnashram. So like you said, they're already in good association because they're nicely situated as Brahmins. They're doing everything very, very well. But the purpose of the Vedic culture and the Brahman understanding is to worship the Supreme Brahman. And that then is where they made the mistakes, though their wife has caught that by the Lord's grace, by the association of the Vaishnavas. So they only caught the Lord's mercy part. They didn't catch that they had association.
Yeah.
So therefore, we look at who is good association. I mean, swajati means has the same kind of spiritual interest. Is that what someone says? And then, you know, then also you have the cultural aspects that you can relate and all that, so you don't have to worry every time you sit down or stand up or eat something or talk something, every step is calculated, every word you're in anxiety about, everything you go to eat, you don't know what the reaction will be. We're not talking about that level of, realm. Does that make sense? You know, directly opposed to Goloka, where every step is a dance, every word is a song, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just who you're comfortable with so that you can discuss. In other words, those that you're close with are those that you can discuss how you are feeling and thinking, and they will not get freaked out. You know, whatever you say, you're discussing something spiritual and they turn it into something political or economic, then that's the wrong people to be close with. You associate with them for whatever reason is necessary. But close is those that you can actually discuss properly with. And
if we take Bhagavatam as an example, we see there were present many devotees during that conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kanishtha Madhyama and Uttamas, but the main conversation is between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikrit.
Yes.
And so it appears like it's a conversation between Uttama and Madhyam.
Yes.
So that's what we hear from.
Yes.
But how much can we appreciate? That's a different thing.
But that's why then we continue hearing. Because by the process of hearing, everything happens. Brahmins' wives, simply by hearing, that's how they came to their platform, because they hadn't even seen Krishna. So it's only by hearing that they came to this platform of affection. So that's why hearing is the most important. So if we regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then, as Bhagavatam mentions, it will remove all the impurities from the heart, one will become steady, and then from that platform, then one starts to appreciate. So that regularity, then that creates the platform from which we can therefore appreciate. So we have to at least intellectually accept that this is what should be done. Even if we have a taste or don't have a taste, we still do. So that's why Prabhupada introduced he was expecting, he had produced books, people would want to read the books. So the devotees would have then read the books and been well established in the books. But then in New Vrindavan in, I think, 1970, then it was understood they weren't reading the books and didn't know what was in the books, because the only one that could offer any arguments to the situation was Satsarup Maharaj, who had read the books. You know, I guess being a school teacher, it kind of helped in that he thought reading was an okay thing, you know. While I guess for others, that when you have a 25-word vocabulary, you know, and half of it's, you know what I mean, you know, like that, then they didn't see the need to read, you just experience, right? So then Prabhupada introduced the regular morning and evening class, so it would be part of the schedule. Because otherwise, I think up to that point, he was expecting that they would study. They would read, and they would talk amongst themselves what they read. But it hadn't happened, so he formalized it.
I think it's good he did.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Prabhupada afterwards, when he asked would he do anything different, he said, no, nothing. Everything would be the same. Right? So in other words, Prabhupada was not affected by the environment. He just knows what are the processes and then what are the options within that, and then you find which one works best for that situation. So we have to remember that Prabhupada and the Acharyas are like Krishna, they're beyond the modes of nature, so they're never affected by the environment. And those who think they are, how you say, totally awash in the ocean of material understanding. So.
Like, as mentioned before, we see this, for this Brahmanas, indifference to Krishna because of pride and high worth.
Because pride and intoxication are basically the same thing. It means if you manifest pride, it's non-different from intoxication, right? Intoxicated, you don't see things properly, you say all kinds of nonsense. So when you're proud, you do the same thing.
So, like, many times while preaching, when we encounter people like that, it's in the first sense very difficult to make an impression on them about the Krishna consciousness, because they see life is going quite well, and
but point is, it's quite well, but there's parts that, but are there no anxieties in life? You know, even you go along with it. Yes, you know, when one follows the traditions, when one works hard, one puts in one's intelligence, you know, and if you need to, then point out like they're doing, you know, and get good results, good community, good birth, you know, religious practices and all this. But even though one's doing all these things, and from that one's getting all kinds of nice benefit, money's coming, family's there, it's all that, are there still no anxieties? Is there not something more that one feels that is lacking in one's life, even though technically one has everything because of how perfect the life is? And they'll have to say, you know, they'll have to say, if they're, you know, sincere at all, then they'll have to say, yeah, there's points, you know. But if they say, no, everything's perfect, nothing's wrong, then all you do is go, well, that's great, I'm happy for you. You know, nice to meet you, and then leave. Because that person you can't do anything with. Because if someone's intoxicated, how do you preach to them? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? They can't, so that's the whole point. So if there is something, then you take it to that point. In other words, acknowledge the position they're at, how nice it is and all that, and then go to what's good. Rather than just saying what they're doing is, you know, useless, because that they won't catch. Because we see that's only introduced in 7th Canto. You know, as a strong point. It's there all along, but it's emphasized from 7th Canto.
Yeah, they see after coming to Krishna consciousness, practicing sometime, then naturally they themselves speak.
Yes, they'll understand. So the point is that they'll have faith to take up the process, associate with devotees, hear and chant. Then all these things will become clear. But until they do that, then not so clear. Okay. The Brahmins continued, indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Yes, so now that, because they're appreciating their wives, now from that piety, now they're starting to appreciate the cowherd boys. Why did he ask for rice? Nanu indicates questioning. Anyone knows where is this from? Or where it's from, Wallace?
Probably.
Oh, just continuing from the previous.
Yeah, it is Chakravarti Thakur.
But I'm just saying it doesn't say as it generally does. Okay, so you're just taking it. If he started it, he just continues how long until someone else starts speaking.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did he ask us for rice? Nanu indicates questioning. Or the verse shows how Krishna is Uttama Shloka. Certainly we are ignorant of our real interest, bhakti, since we were absorbed in household activities, inattentive to the Lord. We were completely insane with household actions and completely proud. He made us remember him because he is the goal of persons following Dharma. We were absorbed in sacrifices, thinking we were following Dharma. He is the goal of the devotees. How astonishing, aho, though he is understood to be most worthy of praise. We did not realize this because of our stupidity. Because so here we see, now does that mean that they are stupid, means they don't even know the mantras, they don't know the rituals, they can't figure anything out? No. So what's the stupidity?
What it is for the goal.
Yes, the goal. And the goal is?
Please
Krishna, right? So in other words, Krishna consciousness. How to see Krishna consciousness in everything. That's intelligent. So if someone sees Krishna in everything, that's intelligent. So in other words, we see here is that the wives of the Brahmins are more intelligent than their husbands in this world. Right? So whoever is there, then whatever it is, that's then intelligence. So in the Vedic system, that's how you define intelligence. Not how much knowledge and skill you have. That's not what we're talking about. Is that what it is? That's why the cowherd boys and cowherd, you know, women in Braj, even though they're simple, it doesn't mean they don't know all the knowledge. It's just that that's not where their intelligence lies. Their intelligence lies in knowing Krishna. And these other things just happen to be there.
So, when you say that a definition for Brahman, that Brahma Janititi Brahmana,
yes.
So these Brahmanas were not even at that level.
They're not on the level of knowing Brahman. But they would know Brahman on the level of sacrifices. So they know it on that aspect. So you could say that they're better than others, because the aspect of Brahman that they're dealing with is higher than what others are dealing with. The Kshatriyas just sees him as his taking care of the people. The Vaishyas making money, or the Shudra as his art. But the point is that they're not actually coming to the transcendental platform of understanding Brahman. So in this way, then you can see their problem. Because if they were on the transcendental position, then they could distinguish that Krishna is a superior Brahman to the Brahman they understand, like Sukadeva Goswami and the Four Kumaras. So on that way, yes, they are not on the platform of Brahman as we expect them to be. But it doesn't mean that they're in a lower position than others within Varna Ashram who don't know Krishna. Does that make sense? So there's two things going on. Is there's the occupation and then there's your realization. That's why the ashram is the spiritual and the varna is the social. So you can be actually situated as a proper Brahman socially in varna, but in ashram then there's a weakness because you don't know what it's actually for. You think it's for material enjoyment. One has to be able to distinguish these two. Because generally we say if you're not good at one, then everything else goes out with it. You know, the Hollywood definition. But we have to be very careful. Does that make sense? Yeah.
This is Sanatana Goswami.
Sorry?
It is Sanatana Goswami.
It's Sanatana Goswami.
No, it's not written. This is the pattern that I've studied and that I'm speaking.
Oh, okay, because the next page is him. Okay, so one of the exalted acharyas has made the comment. The Brahman has continued. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. So we say good character means connected to Krishna. Wise, connected to Krishna. Humble, connected to Krishna. Right, someone may have good material qualifications, that's a potential, but it doesn't make devotional service. Right, the person's humble on the material platform, he takes up devotional service, if he continues to apply that humility, then he'll have a great advantage. But if he's humble because materially he can't get it together, but as a soul he can spiritually, and then he becomes proud that he's advancing his spiritual life, then there's no advantage. Yes.
I was thinking that Tatastha Lakshanas, there are many, but then Swarup Lakshana, only one, so anybody can remember that one.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. If you even don't understand any other ones, then yes. And then from that, if you still don't, you know, for a hint, is okay. Swarup Lakshana, that we're always absorbed in Krishna, always had that faith in Krishna, we're surrendered to Krishna. And so then what Tatastha Lakshanas did Krishna recommend? So as Lord Chaitanya, then he gave the four in Shikshastakam. So then those ones we can remember. And if you get those, if you, with the Sarupa Lakshana, you practice those four Tathasta Lakshanas, then you'll get all the others. Yeah, so you don't have to worry. The Brahmanas continued, "Otherwise, why would the Supreme Controller, whose every desire is already fulfilled and who is the master of liberation and all other transcendental benedictions, enact this pretense with us who are always to be controlled by him? Hoping for the touch of his lotus feet, the goddess of fortune perpetually worships him alone, leaving aside all others and renouncing her pride and fickleness." Right? Because otherwise she has all opulence. So then therefore, that's where does pride come from? Having facility. Now who has more opulence than the goddess of fortune? Right? In other words, all opulences she's the goddess of. So therefore she can be pride in that. And fickle, then she can do whatever she wants, moves however she wants. Right? But because Krishna is the source of all this, so therefore, if she appreciates opulence, he is the source of all opulence, then she will then be focused on him exclusively. Right? And that makes for her pure love for him. And so then, if you see all opulence as connected to Krishna, then one is rightly situated. And one may or may have or may not have facility, and one can be still be Krishna conscious. Right? But if one's trying to get her without Krishna, then means you'll just have the opulence without Krishna. So that means you don't technically have her. You'll have her expansion, which is simply the opulences. So then you get Dana Lakshmi, not Mahalakshmi. Yes, thank you. And so, because you have Dana Lakshmi, that's the material form. And she is, you know, has this pride and fickleness. And so she will always be moving. So even you get the wealth, then tomorrow when you wake up and look on the computer, then it may be you've gone from 90 billion down to only 30 billion. 60 billion lost in one night. Right? That's why I see everybody else then, the weekend is, you know, there's no work, you relax and all that. But the problem is stock market still works, out of hours. You know, during that time. So even during the weekend, when you're sitting on your yacht, you can still lose money. So how you say? No rest for the wicked. Yeah. Yes.
You can also gain.
You can also gain, but the point is the gain you don't mind. You know, like that.
Maharaj, you know whatever the Brahmana was speaking. So, speaking from the Shastras, and because these are Brahmanas who are initiated thralas, therefore they have knowledge.
They have knowledge, yes.
But now they're speaking realized knowledge, can you see that?
Yes, now they have realized knowledge, because now they see it in connection with Krishna. So now this is where you can say that now they're Brahmanas. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, see, Brahmana means one who knows Brahman. So they see everything according to Shastra. But the Vaishnav understanding of Brahmana, that's the highest, because then you see the topmost aspect of the Lord. Does that make sense? So you're seeing the mechanics of the Lord, how the Lord controls the Brahman or Paramatma level. So when you see the topmost Parabrahman, that's then the topmost aspect. So that's the perfect Brahmana. Right? So he's learning his knowledge, you know, he goes to the Gurukul, he studies and all that. So then he's a Bhatu. You know, he's a Brahmin, but he's untrained. He's getting trained. Then when he gets trained, then he should be functioning on one of these three platforms. Now, of them, the Vaishnav is the best. Right? And then of Vaishnavs, then the pure devotees are the best. Right? Like that. So then they're appreciating this hierarchy.
So, Maharaj, can we say that, between the Brahmanas and the wives of the Brahmanas, the wives, they had prema for Krishna, and the Brahmanas, after this entire incident took place, they analyzed the whole thing, they examined, and now they have come to the realization that bhakti is topmost. So, can you say that the wives, because they had prema for Krishna, and having love for Krishna means the entire knowledge about Krishna has been revealed. Therefore, it includes that they also had this particular knowledge, which the Brahmanas had.
It means which knowledge?
Scriptures.
The scriptural what? The scriptures. It means now they know all the fine technical points of the Satapata Brahmana, or and which exact, whether you use the Shruva, the Dhruva, and which size and what wood and. So then what do you mean by knowledge? I'm just saying, why we have a concrete confusion? Because you started off the Brahmins' knowledge and the scriptural knowledge and all that. Then you said the wives, and then the wives had that same knowledge. So your original reference was to their knowing the Veda and knowing all the Brahmanas and all that. You understand? But when we say about the position of Krishna and that, and knowledge about Krishna, then you can say it's the same knowledge. But about the occupational knowledge, then why would they want to do that? You really want to worry about whether it's the Shruva or the Dhruva?
Because for the Nitya Siddhas, this is not for us. For the Nitya Siddhas, as we... You have mentioned many times, Maharaj, that when they come as acharyas, like Jiva and Sanatan, and they know the fine details of everything. You know?
It's so, whatever they need to know, they know.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, okay, let us try another approach. What are you trying to establish by this point of them knowing or not knowing and what is known? Is what will be gained by this?
That on the platform of soul, whether it's a man or woman, they have the true knowledge, that is knowledge of Krishna.
And knowledge of Krishna, true knowledge, yes.
Mm.
Yes. No, but I'm saying it gets confusing because you keep going back and forth between your general Vedic knowledge and the knowledge of Krishna. All the general knowledge is for knowing Krishna. That's the point that they can point out, is how all that connects to Krishna. Because the cowherd boys, why were they making the point about the break in the yajna, when you can eat and when you can't eat? Because it related to Krishna. But other than that, they're not getting into anything else. They're not trying to show the Brahmins that they really know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? They're only pointing out because it's useful in that. So therefore, what knowledge is useful, then the devotees know. You know, so when it's useful, then they speak it. Like that Lord Chaitanya is coming up with Mayavad philosophy, so Mother Jashoda defeats the philosophy. But other than that, do you hear her talking like that? No. So that's the whole point. Yeah, like that. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, by his will he can deliver anyone from samsara. Why did he beg food, which is unbecoming of the Lord? That question is raised in this verse. With a desire to touch his feet once, or to touch even one foot once. Yes, yeah, says okay. Otherwise, right? What it says? Enact his pretense with us, who are always to be controlled by him. You know, it's kind of like, why did he do this, right? You know, he could have just come there in the forearm form and that, and stand at the door and the coward boys could have come over and gone, and then, you know, kind of, you know, then they would have, you know, come, you know, but he didn't. Right, because this is Vrindavan. If it was Vaikuntha, then he might have done it. But with a desire to touch his lotus feet once, or to touch even one foot once, Lakshmi serves him. In that condition, always with Lakshmi or wealth, how could he beg? Thus, his act of begging is bewildering for all jivas. Who can understand his actions? Because right? There's no need to beg. If Lakshmi Devi, who has all opulences, or who is all opulences, and she's just trying to touch Krishna's feet just once, or even just one foot once, does he need to worry about facility? No, so why would he be begging? That's their question. Right? So they don't understand is that he's God, why would he have to do this? But the point is in Vrindavan, he's not playing the role of God. It's simply about him and his devotees. That's the highest principle. Because the Lord is God, but all his parts and parcels are non-different from him, but they're different. So interacting, therefore, with all his parts and parcels, that's the position of relationship. Right? That taste is then what is happening in Braj. It's not about that he's God. Yes, he's God. Everybody, and everybody else is part and parcel of God. Like Prabhupada, somebody was saying that we're all God. And then Prabhupada said, yes, we're all God, but we're small God. And Krishna's big God. So therefore, you as small God have to surrender to big God. Yeah, but we're all God, yes. You know, like that kind of that. So you're just taking that point and then moving it forward. So that aspect is not... So if, therefore, if he's God and we're God, then what's the point of bringing out the God stuff? Does that make sense? You know? You don't have to bring that out, right? You know, say you have whatever it is. You have trying to find the right okay, this may work a little bit more generic. Okay, you have two people from Bombay. They live in Bombay, do everything in Bombay, born in Bombay, grown up in Bombay, and you know they are Bombay, right? So they don't have to discuss amongst themselves as, well, I'm from Bombay, you're from Bombay, so what should we eat today? Well, we're in Bombay, so hey, let's. Why don't we go for some, you know, how you say?
Pav bhaji.
Pav bhaji, yeah. I was going to say, what's this?
Vada
pav. Vada pav. I was going to say that one, because that one's even more specific. Right? And so then they don't have to do that. It's just automatic, so you don't have to do that. You know, but if someone is, okay, from Bombay and the other's from Calcutta, then you might have to work something out here. You know, so you have to discuss that. But that's the whole point, is either you're not considering you're all God, and so that's the... Or if you're everybody's God, but the point is, since you're all God, then it's not to be considered either, because it means it's all the same. So that equality doesn't have to be discussed. Where you're equal, it doesn't have to be discussed. Right? So therefore, they don't have to bring that up. So,
like in you're in Braj, we find that Krishna is a person. They don't.
Krishna is a person.
Yeah, they don't realize him as a god, you know.
Yes.
In Vaikuntha, we find that the devotees, they worship him as God.
Yes.
So do
yes.
They realize the aspect that he's also a person and he has.
Yeah, it is. He's a person who's God, because it's on the platform of Prema. So they've come to the Bhagavan platform, but they're worshiping in Aishwarya rather than sweetness. But in the material world, then people can't get past really this position of him being God. That's on a good day. You know. But otherwise, as far as qualities, they can't understand beyond a few basically two qualities of Brahman. He's unlimited and he's all pervading. That's all they can really catch. You know, though they know he's a person, this, that, but they still can't actually deal with him as such. But in Vaikuntha, because it's actually on the platform of Bhagavan realization, so they deal with him as a person, but as God, as that person. So they do all personal things for him, what he would like as God. So in other words, he's God, what would he like? Right? So it's done in that aspect of opulence. Okay? Yeah. Because that's a flavor. That's what the Jnana Shakti deals with. Jnana Shakti deals with the flavor, and therefore the place and all that goes with the flavor. Right? Kriya, then what you do with that. Right? And then Icha according to his desire. So that's Bhagavan. Yes.
So can we say that in terms of rasa, because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, then as Srila Prabhupada mentions, that on earth for materialists they experience only secondary rasa. Mm. Then on Svarga, they have basically one rasa with Paramatma, because he's the boss and they have, you know, the ministers.
Yes. I was going to say the non-bosses, but they're the ministers, works better. He's in charge, I'm not. That doesn't go. He's in charge, I'm the minister. Yeah.
And then Vaikuntha is 2.5 rasas. But then Golok, it's all 12 rasas manifested fully. That's why there he's the most of himself.
Yes, yes, yes. And 2.5? What's the half?
I don't know. It's kind of, you know, then what's the two?
No, it'd be Shanta and Dasya. Those are the rasas there. So maybe the half is that Lakshmi is there.
Yeah, Lakshmi, yeah.
But they don't have that rasa, but she has the rasa. So they'll accept that she has the rasa. So Shri, Bhu, Nila, they're his shakti, so she can they're in that position. But they as devotees are never. So as devotees there's only that, but in Vaikuntha you could say there's 2.5.
Yeah. Because she's his former wife.
Yeah. Former or formal?
Formal.
Who's he with now?
Goddesses of fortune.
Yes, no, but they're all her expansions. But they have their husbands and they deal with them. Yeah, I guess you could say there's that aspect, because then they're all married. Generally in Vaikuntha they're all married, so then they have that rasa with the devotees. So you can have others, but friendship is the generic one that you have with devotees, like that. Whether all devotees, you have a sense of friendship. Okay. Yes, they're all there, and the 7 they support the 5, and in that way, then they technically become, you know, aspects of Sanchari or Anubhavas of the Stai Bhava of the 5. Well, here, yeah, they're the basically all that one tastes. Thus, his act of begging is bewildering for all jivas. Who can understand his actions? Perhaps he does this to bewilder the non-devotees and nourish the bhakti of the devotees. The non-devotees are bewildered, but the devotees are not. On the contrary, their bhakti increases. By his human pastimes, the Supreme Lord stimulates intense bhakti, or such actions enchant the devotee's heart. Uddhava says to Vidura, Krishna's appearance in the prison house of Kamsa, in miserable circumstances, his stay in Braja out of fear of enemies, and his leaving Mathura, though he has infinite power, used to give me great suffering. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.16. His birth in the prison room of Vasudev, his stay in Braja out of fear of Kamsa, fleeing from Mathura, though he is full of unlimited power, causes me pain. By such human pastimes, increasing bhakti, I feel pain in my heart. By showing his powers as Narasingha, he does not produce suffering in me, since special bhakti does not appear. But, so the whole point is that because the increase of the bhakti, that special bhakti does not appear. Because so remembering his contact, so then here, oh, it's just doing different verses. Remembering his conduct, my heart fills with pain. Bowing at the feet of his parents, he says, O father, O mother, forgive us, because being greatly fearful of Kamsa, we could not serve you. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.17. O Vidura, Krishna's acting as a servant of Ugrasena gives us servants great pain. Standing in front of Ugrasena, sitting on the king's throne, he informs him, O king of kings, please establish me in your service.
You are like, when it is mentioned that with the powers of Narasimha, he does not produce suffering in me, since special bhakti does not appear. So that,
yes.
Narasimha, you know, the concept of God and his opulence, the strength, you know, the power is being exhibited. Therefore, it doesn't arise. But then, when Krishna, it comes to Krishna, you know, he sees, you know, how he's born in the prison house, he flees to Mathura and things like that, out of here. So, because the aspect of human-like pastimes, and because he's acting on the platform as a human, therefore that special bhakti arises. Is it because of...
Yeah, because point is because he's interacting with the devotees, not based on him being God. And so, but based on the devotion of the devotees, that interaction then is very nice. And specific here is that he's not in any situations that we would consider a compromised position.
Means
he's not, he out of fear, then he has to restrict himself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you don't see that in the Sringa's pastimes. I mean, no one contemplates, oh, how did he fit into the pillar? But you know, the point is it's not because the size he comes out matches, so no one's worried about it. So the aspect of when you bring in that he's dealing just on out of affection, and that he is God reciprocates with his devotees as they surrender. and as they're dealing, and he likes that, then that aspect, that can bring about this pain. Because then, you know, it's like he's walking in the forest barefoot, and then all the, all the little, the grass and that, because it can be pokey or different things. When you walk on grass, it can be pokey. So they're worried about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then how to understand this one, that Narasimha, he appeared from the pillar just for affection of, he had affection of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes, but so. Was he in a compromised situation? Was there any disturbance for him? Right, did Hiranyakashipu catch him and tie him up and put him in a cage and then you know, go, you know, here, kitty, you know, that kind of stuff? No. So then there was no, he was not compromised. Yeah? So in these he feels that he's compromised. His position as God is compromised because he's taking the mood of servant to the devotees. The Brahmins continued, all the aspects of sacrifice, that's why it's bewildering, his human pastimes are bewildering, because it's seemingly, then he has all the problems that humans have, right? We've taken up devotional service because the problems we have as a human, right? And our idea is to get out of those problems as being a human. And so then it becomes bewildering that you go back to the spiritual world and all those same problems are still there, right? But the difference is here the problems give us material anxiety, while there they give transcendental ecstasy. So this pain that he feels is still transcendental ecstasy. Right. So because it's understood, it's special bhakti. The Brahmins continued. All the aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious place and time, the various items of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests and sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patron of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offerings, and the pious results obtained, all are simply manifestations of his opulences. Yet, even though we had heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, we were so foolish that we could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. Let us offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intelligence is never bewildered, whereas we, confused by his power of illusion, are simply wandering about on the paths of fruitive work. Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 50 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right, so Krishna is everything, and how everything's connected to him, that's all perfectly him. But the point that this is all about pleasing Krishna, bringing about the pleasure of Krishna, that's the only purpose of it. Right, so they're just seeing all the technical points, how he is everything, so therefore as God, so we worship him because he's God. Like that. No, his point is all these things that he is reminds you of him as a person, then how to serve Krishna with this thing that reminds you of Krishna. Does that make sense? So the aspect that he's the supreme is not the important aspect. That's what then goes beyond. So that's the unlimited dimensions of rasa. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, if someone denies the self-sufficiency of Krishna on hearing that he was tending the cows for his livelihood, or if someone doubts his not being needed food, thinking that he was actually hungry, then such a person should understand that the goddess of fortune is always engaged in his service. In this way, the goddess can break her faulty habit of restlessness. So that means her faulty habit of restlessness with Krishna is not broken, so she is always with him. It always has all opulences. Right? But, yeah. In Vedic literatures, like the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that Krishna is served in his abode with great respect, not only by one goddess of fortune, but by many thousands. So those who are offering respect, all those opulences are always there. They're not going away. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, it is simply illusion for one to think that Krishna begged food from the brahmanas. It was actually a trick to show them mercy by teaching them that they should accept him in pure devotional service instead of engaging in ritualistic ceremonies. Because he doesn't need their food. He has all opulences. And so then Mother Yashoda is taking care of everything. So he doesn't need like that. But he does this just to bring about the mercy for the wives of the Brahmins, and then from that is the reaction, then the Brahmins themselves getting a benefit. Just like when you see these things related to any, like with Advaitacharya, then we see from the pastimes that he has a beard. Prabhupada introduced him with a beard. All the pictures that are there when Prabhupada was here, he all has a beard. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you think he has a beard because he's old, you know, because he's old, he has a beard, then you're in material consciousness. So then some take it, see, he doesn't have a beard. No, he has a beard because he wants to have one. He doesn't need to have one. He's not because he's old. So he wants to manifest gray hair and a beard and all that. That's, you know, and so he, that's for fun. He doesn't need to. It's not like us that we're forced. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's then that why then how it gets resolved nicely. He has a beard, but he doesn't have one. The beard of no beard. Yes.
Because if we look closely to Panchatattva, he's got a young face just with the beard.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the whole point. That's the fun, yeah. You know, 16-year-old with a gray beard, you know, so he does. It's just, you know, people are going to, wow, he's well-preserved. You know, you know, well, you know, they would definitely, everyone would pull him over. What's your secret? You know. He only eats things cooked with love. It was actually a trick to show them mercy by teaching them that they should accept him in pure devotional service instead of engaging in ritualistic ceremonies. Right? So they're engaged in ritualistic ceremonies for their own purpose. So as Brahmins, whatever is their occupation that they need to do, that they do, but only because that pleases Krishna, that they're doing their duty. And they're always remembering Krishna while they're doing the duty. Right? But if they're doing karmakanda things that are not necessary, but that they would give up. So does that make sense?
Sometimes devotees wonder why they're called Vaidika Brahmanas. Is that from Vaidhi Bhakti or from the Vedic Brahmanas?
No, it means Vedic Brahmanas. It means that they're doing all the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Like that. So that's why you would call them that. Well, let's say someone else is a Pancharatrik or someone else is, you know, Tantric. So you're kind of known by what area you do. You know, it's just like someone's an engineer, but are they an electrical engineer, a structural engineer? That, you know, so different kinds of, depending upon the area they work in. So Vaidic means that they deal with all the Vedic rituals. So the Brahmanas are their main text, you know, like that. So they do know which Shruva or Dhruva to use in the various ceremonies. You know, well, for us, what's the big deal? You just use a soup spoon, right? You know, a ladle, right? You know, haribol. The Vedic ceremonial paraphernalia, the suitable place, the suitable time, the different grades of articles for performing the ritualistic ceremonies, the Vedic hymns, the process of sacrifice, the priest who is able to perform the sacrifice, the fire, the demigods, the performer of the sacrifice, and the religious principles are all meant for understanding Krishna. Right? That means the time, the place, and the circumstance. So right, time, we understand the place where it's happening like that. Circumstance will be all that paraphernalia, all those considerations. But all those will be seen in connection with the priest, that he knows how to use that, and that will be in consideration of the yajamana and what he's qualified for. You understand? So the time, place, circumstance has to include yourself. Right? And what is the purpose of time, place, and circumstance? Just to please Krishna. Otherwise, the Brahmins were They were qualified. They were functioning time, place, and circumstance and doing what was appropriate. They weren't doing Shrauta Yajnas and they weren't qualified. They were qualified. But they left Krishna out of it. So as far as Varnashram, they were nicely situated. So very pious. But they weren't God conscious. So that means is that time, place, and circumstances only to please Krishna. Because all these things that are mentioned, those are all just aspects of time, place, and circumstance. So, yes? No?
When I'm thinking about when one performs ritualistic ceremonies, one may be pious, but one may not have the values, you know.
The value means values? What do you mean by values?
Like, these brahmanas, they were proud, you know. So.
Yes, but did they not value the Vedic ceremonies?
Yes.
Did they not value doing them properly?
Yes.
Did they not value being expert in them?
Yeah.
So then they value the rituals, but they value them because they could elevate them to heavenly planets, not because they could please Krishna.
Yeah. But then when they ignored the boys, when they came begging for food?
Because they don't value anything other than the rituals give them fruitive results. So it's not that they don't value the Vedic rituals. They just don't value them for Krishna consciousness, what they're actually meant for. They're valuing them for the side benefits you can get. Right? Yeah. Yes? Okay. So, all are meant for understanding Krishna, for Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord Vishnu and the Lord of all mystic yogis. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He'll comment this evening. Because, you know, how you say time, right? Place is okay, but the time is wrong. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur.